greenhouse gas emissions from the agriculture sector reduced by nearly 5% last year, but farmers need urgent support from government if Ireland is to reach legally binding targets. That's according to the Climate Change Advisory Council, whose chair, Mary Donnelly, joins us now in studio. Good morning. Can you remind listeners briefly what those emissions reduction targets are for this sector?
So for the agricultural sector, the target for 2030 is a 25% reduction in emissions. For agriculture, that is a significant challenge, as indeed other sectors have challenges. And at the moment, agriculture has used about 60% of its emissions in the first 3 years of Carbon Budget 1. It's almost on track. The positive news is we have proven cost-effective measures that can be taken by farmers to reduce their emissions. But it is important that these are communicated effectively to farmers and supported by the government in terms of incentives.
OK, well, let's get down to it. You've committed a review of those targets and you have advice for farmers, for government and then retailer and consumer organisations. But if you take farmers first, what are the top three work practices they could undertake to assist in the national cause?
So the top three would be firstly in the area of fertilisers. So reduce the amount of fertiliser and shift to protected urea. And in this context, it's cost effective. But I would call on the co-ops and the agricultural stores to ensure that they have the supplies in stock. Because if a farmer goes in to buy the fertiliser and it's not there, well, there's nothing they can do about it. We have a target of 90% protected urea by 2025. At the moment, we're at 45%. So there's still some way to go. And I think it's very important that the stores, the co-ops, assist farmers in making that shift. So that's one area, and that's a big, big impactful measure. A second one is in terms of additives. So there are additives that have been proven technically to be effective in reducing methane emissions. And methane, as you know, is the short-lived warming gas. So you can add these, put these additives into manure, which reduces the emissions, and also into the feed for animals. And they're very effective. We've proven them here in practice here in Ireland. These need to be supported for farmers to use them. And then a third area is earlier finishing of cattle. And at the moment, there is a bonus scheme in place by the meat processors, but they need to shift that bonus scheme to a slightly earlier age of finishing, reduce it by 3 months, because obviously farmers will respond to the financial bonus. And if the bonus isn't in the right place, well, then it's sending the wrong message to farmers. So we would call on the meat processors to move their bonus system into the right place in terms of the finishing age.
So if that's the message to the farmers, you also have messages for government and you're calling for urgent support to incentivise the rapid uptake of cost-effective farming. What does that mean?
So some of these measures that I mentioned there will require government support. So the additives, for example, that's a cost for farmers and it needs to be reflected in the supports mechanisms and in the incentives that are out there. It needs to be rewarded by the price that they get for their product. So these are the kind of measures that the government need to specifically identify. But there's also other areas, because we've called on government to really look at how to support incomes in farms and farming communities. And there are alternative measures that can also be supported. So just if I take the biomethane strategy, which is an important one, it's where farmers can produce silage and other inputs into anaerobic digestion to produce gas, which we will need in our other areas of energy. But farmers need to be incentivized for that. And the business case for the rollout of the biomethane strategy is one that really needs to be underpinned by government. So these are the kinds of things that we really need government to act very strongly on, so as to support farmers in these options.
And that's an interesting way of putting it. It's nearly like a network. The farmers have to play their part. They have to be supported by, for example, processors. The government has to roll in behind it, provide either, you know, whether it's cutting through red tape or giving finance. But also another leg to it is retailers and consumer organisations. They too are part of this overall picture. What do you want them to do?
So, firstly, I think it's very important, and I would like to particularly acknowledge that organic farming in Ireland has trebled since this whole process started. And I think, you know, government, we have to acknowledge the incentives they have put in place have worked, and congratulations to the farmers. We now have 5% of our farmers who are organic farmers. The response that we're looking from retailers and suppliers is to ensure that they have sustainable products available. suitably labelled so that consumers can make the choice, and to support people in their dietary selection. I suppose in the simplest sense, we need to look at our diet, follow the international guidelines in terms of diet, and in an overarching sense, reduce the amount of sugar that we all eat and increase the amount of fruit and vegetables.
In the 30 seconds we have left, I just wanted to touch on one area you're not happy with, forestry. Briefly, what needs to happen there?
Forestry is a real challenge. Our forest is in decline, and in fact, instead of being a sink which absorbs carbon dioxide, we are now moving into a source, which is really unusual. We will be one of the few countries in the world with this problem. It means that we can't absorb excess emissions. So we really need to invest in and support the rollout of forest. This is a conversation that needs to take place. The funding is there. The mechanisms are there, but the government needs to have a dialogue with foresters, with farmers and with communities about the rollout of forestry, how best to do it, where to do it, and support people in that endeavour.
Mary Donnelly, Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, thank you so much for joining us.